عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praises due to Allah, we praise Him. We ask Allah's assistance, and we seek Allah's forgiveness, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness, as you bear witness, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah alone, with no partners. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace and send his blessings upon him, his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. O you who have believed, fear Allah the way He deserves to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims in the state of submission to Allah. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, our father Adam, and from him He created his spouse, our mother Eve, and from them He dispersed many men and women upon earth. You, those who came before you, and those who will come after you. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you. Keep the kinship ties. Verily Allah ever watches over you. O you who have believed, fear Allah and say a good word, an upright word, a straightforward word. He will forgive you your sins, and He will rectify your deeds. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has attained the greatest success. As to what follows, the most truthful speech is the Quran, the book of Allah. And the best way of life and guidance to be followed is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs are the things which we introduce into Islam, the innovations which we bring into Islam, because every newly introduced matter is an innovation, and every innovation leads astray, and whatever is astray will be going to the hellfire. In this manner, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin his khutab. In this manner, he used to remind the Muslims of the rights of Allah over them. In this manner, he clarified that there's no such thing as a newly way that will get you closer to Allah except His way. If we truly love Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will truly follow Him, and we will truly stick to the sunnah. Because sticking to the sunnah is like the ark of Noah, when everyone else will drown. When everyone else will drown, the sunnah is what will save you by Allah's grace. Being a close adherent to the way of life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we believe in what Allah described Himself with in the Quran. And we believe in what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Allah with in His Sunnah. We don't deny any sifa, any attribute which Allah affirmed to Himself. Because Allah knows best about Himself, and He revealed the best revelation and the best language through the best angel to the best messenger to the best ummah. So nothing was by chance and coincidence. When we believe in what Allah described Himself with, it should affect our lives. It is not some academic understanding of things. It is something that revives the iman in your heart. It is something that will call you to Jannah and protect you from the hellfire. Among the qualities of Allah which we must believe in is the quality of love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And the quality of hate, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. If you read the Quran, this news will not be any news to you. This will be something which you already know, because you've come across it tens and tens of times in the book of Allah. And if Allah indeed loves, and He does, the question remains, have we acquired the qualities which can guarantee us the love of Allah? Have we done the things which bring about the love of Allah? Or is it something that is unimportant in our lives? Because for many, it is unimportant. Whether Allah loves them or not is irrelevant. What matters is the money. What matters is the wife and the children. What matters is the education. What matters is the worldly status. What matters is appearances and showing off and adornment. How big the house, how fancy, how lovely. But the question is, have we given some time to see whether we are loved by Allah or the other way around? The true believer prioritizes even in these matters. He knows what he should give precedence to. If you read the Quran, you see that Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Have you heard this ayah before? Don't answer verbally, it's not allowed to speak in the khutbah. But if you know the answer, then you know the answer. You've read it before. You've heard it probably in Taraweeh. Do you know the English or the Urdu translation? You must. Otherwise, your relationship with the Book of Allah is no good. Anyone can read, but it's not about those who read. It's about those who understand what they read and act upon it. Because when Allah criticized the Jews, when He criticized Bani Israel, He said, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Among them are those who are illiterate, uneducated, ignorant. They know nothing of the book but recitation. They only know how to recite the Torah, but they didn't understand the message of the Torah. They didn't live by it. That's why when Allah saved them from Fir'aun and they crossed the Red Sea, they saw some people worshipping a calf. They said, make us a god like they have a god. They asked for shirk after Allah saved them through Tawheed, because they really didn't understand. And how many Muslims have fallen into the same trap? Only Allah knows. We ask Allah to guide us all. Allah loves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ حُبّ مَحَبَّ أَحَبَّ يُحِبُّ. You must have heard one of them at least. And we know that it means love. Verily Allah loves التَّوَّابِين. You have تَائِب, someone who repented. تَوَّاب, someone who always repents. Someone who always repents. صِيغَةُ الْمُبَالَغَةِ. It is for exaggeration, like kadhab, big liar. Kadhib, someone who may lie occasionally. Kadhab, he's a compulsive, big time liar. Tawwab, someone who's always, forever repenting to Allah. Every time they disobey Allah, which we do, they repent to Him and they seek forgiveness. This is their whole life. As long as they're alive, they're between ma'siyah and istighfar. Because we will not be angels. You will not be able to walk the surface of this earth without disobeying Allah. It is impossible. But some commit way more sins than others. And those who commit sins, if they repent to Allah, then Allah loves them. Isn't it amazing how Allah will love you even though you disobeyed Him? You committed a crime, but you decided to change in return, Allah will love you for that change. If Allah willed, He could have prevented His love from you. And then you will never be able to find your way back to salvation. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, this is an invitation for tawbah from this minbar. Every sister who's been wearing the hijab part-time, or her hijab itself is half a hijab, any brother who's been abandoning the salah, or being undutiful to his parents, or severing his kinship ties, or going against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the time to repent. If you repent, Allah will pardon the past sins and He will give you His love. What else do you want? It cannot get any better than this. If we had an ilah other than Allah, it wouldn't be like this. But alhamdulillah, that our Lord, our Master, is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Wadud, Al-Ghafoor, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah loves those who repent. Some people think that repentance is merely some words which you utter with your mouth after the salah in a very speedy manner. Like those who Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. What is this? You're remembering Allah, ya akhi. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. It is not a race. It's not like you have some weight on your shoulder, you just want to get rid of it. So you rush through the adhkar. You can't even catch up with his fingers, how fast he goes. Slow down, akhi. And remember Allah in a manner which is befitting. Remember Allah while meaning what you say, to the best of your ability. This particular quality, tawbah, has some conditions. It has some conditions. First, you must do it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of people. Many smokers, they quit smoking because the doctor told them that you may get cancer. And if he smoked for 10 years and he quit smoking because of the doctor's advice and he doesn't intend to repent to Allah, Allah will hold him accountable for the 10 years of smoking. Because his niyyah is not for Allah, it's for life. He wants to live longer. So he quit smoking. This is not tawbah in the sight of Allah. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا إِلَى اللَّهِ. The tawbah is to Allah, not for anyone else. Second condition is regret and remorsefulness. That you actually feel bad and guilty. You cannot continue to disobey Allah while enjoying it. Which means when you fall into that sin, you feel so bad, you wish the earth could swallow you for having disobeyed Allah. And Allah described those people in Surah Ali Imran. When he mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who when they commit an abhorrent sin, a grave sin, or they wrong themselves, they remember Allah automatically. They remember Allah. Then they seek forgiveness for their sins. They feel guilty. And who forgives the sins but Allah? No one. But they do not insist on that sin while they know. So we must be remorseful and we must leave the sin alone. And then we must have the intention never to go back to it again. There's no part-time tawbah. The tawbah should be permanent. If someone falls back into the same sin again, it does not mean that his previous tawbah was invalid. If the tawbah back then was sincere, the previous sins are forgiven. If he falls to it again after 1 month, he is responsible for that new sin, even if it's the same sin, provided that when he made that first tawbah, it was sincere and it met the conditions. And the last two conditions is that it is done before the sun rises from where it sets, which is Yawm al-Qiyamah, when it's too late, and that you do so before your soul is about to leave your body, when it reaches your collar. If you reach that point of death, tawbah will be of no benefit. And the last condition, giving back people's rights. If you have been dealing with riba, and you've been taking the money of people, multiplied, when they pay you back because you lend them the money, when you want to repent to Allah, when you want to repent to Allah, these people's money should be given back. If you stole some money and you want to repent to Allah, the money must be returned back to the owners. Giving back people's rights. Because people's rights do not fall under the maghfirah of Allah. Allah will forgive the sins that are between you and Him. Allah, if He wills, He will forgive all of your sins. But the rights of people, these you will have to deal with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. they do not fall under the maghfirah. Which means you have to be very careful about wronging other Muslims and oppressing them. Allah loves the tawwabin, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And Allah loves the mutatahirin. The first tawwab was the inner purification. The purification of the soul and the heart. Mutatahir is the one who purifies his physical body. When you go to the bathroom, and then you clean yourself in a manner prescribed by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah will love you. When you make ghusl for Yawm al-Jumu'ah, Allah will love you. When you make wudu for Salah, Allah will love you. When you keep yourself clean, you look clean, you smell clean, Allah will love you. Because Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. And Allah loves that His slave shows that the bounties Allah has bestowed upon him. Allah loves those who purify themselves. So next time you make a wudu, let us try to remember that we're not only establishing a condition for the validity of the salah, but we are also attaining Allah's love by simply washing ourselves. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Ihsan is to excel. To do the utmost that you can do. It is more than good, more than very good. It is excellence. Excel. Verily Allah loves those who excel. A better definition is that of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لما سأله جبريل عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. When Jibreel questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the definition of ihsan, he told him to worship Allah, to be a slave of Allah as if you can see him. But if you can't, meaning if you can't reach that level, then know that Allah sees you. The first is one who worships Allah with love, with compassion. He loves to worship Allah. We don't have to drag him by his ear and say, come stand in the salah. Rather, you have to hold him back from going to the salah. He's looking forward to enslave himself to his Lord. Because in that is izzah. In that is honor and dignity. The more you are a slave of Allah, the more Allah will raise you. The more you enslave yourself to the people, the more Allah will put you down. This is why al-izzah lillahi wa lirasulihi wa lilmu'mineen. But the munafiqeen don't understand that. They have their own standards of honor and dignity based on worldly standards which are rejected in the deen of Allah. So to worship Allah in this manner, if we can't be like that, if we can't love Allah enough because of our problems, our sicknesses in our hearts, then let us at least remember that Allah sees us. So let us fear Him accordingly. Let us fear Him accordingly. When you're behind a screen, when you're behind the monitor, and the door is closed, and the room is locked, and you think you're by yourself to enjoy yourself, brother, you are not by yourself. And sister, you are not by yourself. There are angels writing down what you do, and there's before that Allah observing you. Let us feel shy of Him. And not disobey Him in this manner. Because Allah loves those who worship Him in the state of ihsan. That means you're not the average Muslim. Because we have people that are barely Muslim. Then we have people who is an average Muslim. Then we have people who are real, genuine, 100% Muslims. The ones whom Allah loves are the last. The one whom Allah truly loves. Not that the other ones don't have their share of love, otherwise they wouldn't have been Muslims. Are those who are 100% genuine Muslims. These are the muhsineen. So are we among the muhsineen? How is our ibadah? How is our relationship with Allah? How do we deal with it? I don't have to evaluate. You evaluate yourself, I evaluate myself, we give our own answers, and we treat our own problems. But if you want to attain Allah's love, then ihsan is one of them ways. There are many other ayat which I can quote. However, I will, in the second part of the khutbah inshallah, quote one more ayah in reference to the love of Allah. And that ayah should be the foundation of our life. Whosoever understands it and lives by it shall be successful, and whoever does not shall not. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العلي العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah said, some people alleged, they claimed that they love Allah. And I don't believe there's a single exception to the rule in this masjid or even outside this masjid. There isn't a Muslim whom if you ask, do you love Allah? You will hear an answer that says no. It is impossible. Your tongue wouldn't allow you to say it. And if your heart believed it, then you couldn't be a Muslim. However, this love which we're supposed to have is not at one level. And sometimes it is real, and sometimes it is fake. So when the people made that allegation that they love Allah, an ayah was revealed. Memorize it. Surah Al-Imran, ayah 31. Allah says, قُلْ, instructing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to everyone, jinn and ins, believers and disbelievers, everyone in the world, from the time this was revealed until the end of time, this statement must be conveyed to the people. When he died alayhi salatu wasalam, it became the obligation of the Sahaba. When the Sahaba died, it became the obligation of the Tabi'een. When the Tabi'een died, it became the obligation of Atba'u Tabi'een. And it remains to be the obligation of the people of Da'wah until the end of time. Qul, say, if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, if you truly love Allah, how do you prove it? By talking about it? No. One thing Allah required of us, one thing. If we do it, we are sincere in our claim. If we don't, we are not, even if we swore and claimed otherwise. Ittabi'uni. You've heard the word ittiba'. Ittiba', ittaba'a. To follow, to imitate, to emulate. Follow me, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will love you. You were trying to prove that you love Allah by following the sunnah. The byproduct is Allah will love you. And when you love Allah, frankly speaking, it's not a big deal. I mean, if one of us loved Allah, what is that going to do to Allah? Nothing. We are absolutely nothing. But if Allah loves you, that's a big deal. By following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you acquire the love of Allah, you prove your sincerity in Islam, and you deserve Jannah. You pray all night in Ramadan, and you fast all day because of one thing, Protection from the hellfire, admission to Jannah. That's what we want at the end of the day. And here it's being guaranteed for you if you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is amazing. And don't get offended. Don't get offended. A true believer is one who takes advice. And a true believer is one who loves for you what he loves for himself. And the believers are mirrors for one another. Because we enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, and remind each other of Allah's rights. Don't take it as a personal attack, but understand the example I'm trying to follow. This beard, the most basic, easiest act of worship in Islam. There isn't a single deed easier than letting the beard grow, because you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Allah is the one who makes it grow. Your job is to leave it alone. Isn't it amazing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in around 7 to 8 narrations, he tells the Muslim men, خَالِفُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اُعْفُ الْلِحَى وَحْفُ الشَّوَارِبِ. Distinguish yourself from the polytheists. Don't be like the mushrikeen. Let your beards grow and trim your mustache. Isn't it amazing? He has to say this so many times, and yet we don't care. Why don't we do it? Why can't we follow the sunnah? Why? Where's the true love of Allah? What benefit is shaving the beard going to bring you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? It's going to bring disasters. Are you worried about your appearance? Do you want to be the most handsome man in the world? And the beard is making that impossible? What is our reason, brothers? We don't have a reason. There's no real reason. It's all from the shayateen. I'm giving you this so we will know that we have shortcomings. Because sometimes we think, oh, I am on the sunnah. No, akhi, you're not. The sunnah is not only the beard, don't get me wrong. The sunnah is manners. The sunnah is honesty. The sunnah is being kind and courteous. The sunnah is being generous. The sunnah is treating your wives with respect. The sunnah is not to belittle women. The sunnah is to love your wives like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his wives. Abu Musa asked him, who is the most beloved to you? He said, Aisha. He said, I mean among the men. He said, Abuha. He didn't even say Abu Bakr. He said, her father. Still referring to Aisha. Today some Muslims treat their wives like a bag of trash which he picked up from the street and brought into his house, thinking he's Mr. Macho Man, the dictator, the president, the king of the house. Allah may throw you on your face in Jahannam for this mentality. These women are our responsibility to take care of them, not to humiliate them. Now we all have our shortcomings. But we must know our limitations as well. Women, Allah has honored in the Quran. And Allah on more than one occasion He said, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah gave the choice of male and female. They're not the same. But they both have rights which we should maintain. It doesn't mean you grow a beard, then you lie. You grow a beard, then you cheat. You grow a beard, then you make the Muslims look bad. It means that you follow the sunnah from A to Z. Everything which came from the Messenger of Allah, you strictly follow. Because Allah loves those who strictly follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They don't use it like a supermarket. They don't go shopping. Like the sunnah is a shopping mall. You go choose what you want and leave alone what you don't want. No, you have to take the whole package. Otherwise, you're not a true follower. If you don't believe me, look at the youth. When they become obsessed with a cricket player, or a soccer player, or a singer, or an actor, they will have the same hairstyle. And they will dress the same. And they will speak the same. And they will act the same. Everything he does, they will do. And if you ask them why, they will say, he's great. I love him. So why can't we do this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why can't we follow the sunnah when they ask us why? I say, because I love him. Is there a problem with loving him? That is the true love. Not celebrations, not crying when we hear his name, not some other rituals which we brought from some other religion. It is following him, the true manifestation of love. And if we do so, then Bukhari and Muslim narrate a hadith. The hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ فقال إني أحب فلانا فأحبه فيحبه جبريل ثم ينادي في أهل السماء أن الله يحب فلانا فأحبوه فيحبه أهل السماء ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. أبو هريرة said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when Allah loves a slave, he will call on Jibreel and he will say, I love such and such person, whatever your name is. Allah will call you by your name. Allah will call you by your name fil mala'i al-a'la, and he will tell the greatest of angels, Jibreel, that he loves you. And then he will command Jibreel to love you. Then Jibreel will love you. Then he will call on the inhabitants of the heavens, the malaika, and he will say, Allah loves fulan, such and such person, so love him. Then the angels will love you. Then Allah will put acceptance for you on earth. Are you that brother, or are you not? And if Allah calls by your name to express his love concerning you to Jibreel, tell me what will harm you afterwards? What will harm you afterwards from the people? Nothing. If all of the people hated you, if all of the people went against you, and Allah loves you, Allah will put you in Jannah and put them in Jahannam. What matters is Allah loving one of us. This is the most virtuous objective in our lives, which we should strive for every single day. What honor is there after this honor, my brothers and sisters in Islam? And how often do we deprive ourselves of this love because of some silly sins which we commit? Allah will love this person. Jibreel will love this person. The malaika will love this person. And the righteous people will love this person. But time out. The hadith doesn't end. The hadith goes on to say that if Allah hates a person, he will call on Jibreel. And he will tell him, I hate such and such person, so hate him. Then Jibreel will hate him. Then he will call on the angels to hate him. They will hate him. Then Allah will put hatred for him on earth. One of us can be sitting in this masjid right now while he is that. Wal-iyadu billah. And one of us can be sitting in this masjid now while he is the first. Walhamdulillah. The objective is, in case we have been among the second category, let us make sure that we move to the first. And what better opportunity than Ramadan? What a blessed chance to return to Allah, attain His love in the month of Ramadan. Because the month of Ramadan is a platform of righteousness. If you want to construct a home of righteousness, the foundation is the month of Ramadan. Don't wait until it goes. Don't wait until it ends and then say regret and wish you could come back and change. Do it now. From this day onwards, you have a new objective in life. It is not to become a doctor. And if you did, barakallah feek. Your new objective in life is gaining Allah's love before I meet Him. Before the Malakul Maut comes to take away your soul and extract it from your body, make sure that you have been among those whom Allah loves. Because if you are, then the death will be easy, and the questioning in the grave will be easy, and then the residence in the grave will be easy, then resurrection will be easy, and then you will enter Jannah with ease. And what else do we want after that? And if it's the other way around, then it's the other way around. It's difficulty upon difficulty upon difficulty in disgrace. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, the intelligent Muslim is the one who, after hearing the admonishment, acts upon it. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَخِرُّوا عَلَى صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. When they're reminded of the ayat of their Lord, they're not deaf and blind concerning them. When you hear a reminder, don't praise it. And don't praise the one who gave it to you, because you're not helping him get close to Allah. Those who are involved in da'wah suffer more than those who receive da'wah, because they have to battle with their intentions, and they have to battle with fame, and they have to battle with a lot of problems. If you truly benefit, act upon it, and that will be sufficient for the speaker and the listeners. What is important is that we take a reminder and it will change our life, not that we say we enjoyed hearing a particular khutbah while we are still the same way we were before the khutbah. This is not a movie, nor is it a performance. This is the deen of Allah, and this is the relationship with Allah, and this is Jannah and Jahannam at stake. So let us make sure that we benefit, and that we change, and that we return to Allah before it is too late. Let us make sure that we gain the love of Allah before it's too late. اللهم لك الحمد في الأولى والآخرة. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمسلمين جميعا يا رب العالمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد. أقم الصلاة. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار
أحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.